For the first time in 2021, great to welcome in Brian Kruger to Racing Pulse, the chairman of Racing Victoria. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Morning, Michael. Happy New Year.
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you too. And it's interesting to see the announcement yesterday from the Victorian government in regards to the point of consumption tax, that here in Victoria it will now be increased from 8% to 10% from the 1st of July in 2021, which brings it into line with the current rate in New South Wales. Now, it then goes on in the release to say that the return to the Victorian racing industry, this is for all three codes, Gallops, Harness and Greyhound Racing, will be increased from 1.5% to 3.5%, but after taking into consideration deductions, it is expected that it will be around about 1.7% return. So it can be rather convoluted and confusing for people out there, Brian, but in general, what does this mean for racing?
Yeah, Michael, look, you've summarised it pretty well. Probably just add a couple of points to that summary, which is that, yeah, you're right, it's increasing from 8 to 10, which is the same as New South Wales, but just point out that currently all other states in Australia actually have a point of consumption tax at 15%. New South Wales and Victoria will still have the lowest point of consumption tax rate. The issue raised about sort of the 3.5% and some of that, not all of that coming directly through to the Victorian racing industry, has to do with the fact that there's a make-whole obligation on the industry for Tabcorp. So Tabcorp's actual taxes that they're paying will not change, and therefore they effectively are reimbursed for the increased point of consumption tax. So it means instead of getting all of that sort of the 3.5% of the 10% coming through to the industry, you end up with about half of that 3.5%. Now, dollar terms, which is often easier for people to understand exactly what that means, we estimate that from the 1st of July, that will mean about another $20 million per annum coming through to the Victorian racing industry. So split there between, as you say, the thoroughbreds, greyhounds and harness.
So in regards to where that leaves Victoria in comparison to other states, with the 15% and then 10% in New South Wales, the financial returns, what does that mean for Victorian racing compared to those other racing authorities?
Yeah, look, the key one obviously is for us, and the one we probably focus on the most, is where it sits as relative to New South Wales, I guess, being the two biggest states. It gets us a lot closer to New South Wales in terms of what they receive from the point of consumption tax. So currently in New South Wales, they receive a net 2% from the 10%. As we said, this will get us probably 1.7%, 1.8% out of the 10% coming back to the industry. So certainly narrows the gap in funding from point of consumption tax point of view. Again, in dollar terms, that probably translates to about a $10 million per annum advantage for New South Wales. But the bigger issue, though, for us is in other tax benefits that New South Wales is still receiving over and above what we receive in Victoria. And that's been a bit of a moving feast as their returns from other taxation revenue has been increasing. But that will add about another $50 million per annum to that gap. So there's still a big challenge there for us as an industry in Victoria relative to the government funding support that New South Wales currently receives. So with the POC announcement yesterday gets us heading in the right direction, but we've still got a big issue there to deal with, and clearly the challenge for us in Victoria will be, as you know, further narrowing that gap, if not eliminating it, as we go through the relicensing process, the retail relicensing process over the next year or so.
So is that about a $60 million difference in per annum,
yeah,
Victoria,
probably,
New South Wales funding?
It's probably north of that at the moment. So it's a big difference. And, you know, as I said, the point of consumption tax announcement yesterday helps narrow that, but it doesn't get us to where we need to get to. So there's still a lot of work for us as an industry to do working with the government here in Victoria, particularly as it relates to the new licensing regime or the new retail license regime, where we really need to look to further narrow that gap.
Is that where it stems from, the wagering license, the difference?
Correct.
In those difference. Tax? Right.
Correct. That's exactly right. Look, it's quite complicated, but simply So there's two primary sort of taxation regimes. One is related to the point of consumption tax. The other one is around taxation on the wagering licensee in both states. Point of consumption tax now materially narrowed, but still have a big issue that we're dealing with in terms of that gap on taxes that are paid through to the New South Wales racing industry in relation to the retail wagering licence in New South Wales relative to Victoria.
So of the 20 million that will enter the racing industry, all three codes, what's the breakdown for thoroughbred racing?
Yeah, so thoroughbreds look still to be completely finalised, but we will receive about 70% of that 20 million in thoroughbreds. And then of the 30, the remaining 30, I think about 20% to greyhounds and roughly 10% to harness racing.
And has that been earmarked for how it will be used, whether it's prize money or track refurbishment, infrastructure? How do you think that will be spent?
Look, all of the above. Obviously, it was only sort of finalised and announced yesterday. Obviously, we've known it's been coming for a little while, and this was a potential outcome. But really, you know, it just gives us more confidence, I guess, in you know, our ability to fund the industry into the medium term, supporting participants, supporting the clubs, as you well know, and most people are aware, the clubs have been going through a really difficult time financially. Means we can continue to invest in equine welfare and integrity the way that we've been doing. Continue to invest in racing and training infrastructure, and obviously the other big question which comes up obviously is around prize money. So there's an opportunity there for us. We'll be better placed, like, I guess, to consider things like prize money changes as well.
Well, it's great to get this increase in funding for the Victorian industry. The question that a lot of people have asked since it was announced, and there's SMSs coming through now, is how will it affect the punter? Will this be a direct tax, do you think, on the punters and turnover?
Look, I don't. The corporates who it affects, corporate bookmakers who it affects, have been aware of the likelihood of it coming for a period of time. You know, they would say any increase in cost is not welcome for them. I know that they're pleased, though, about the fact that the increase is primarily coming back to the industry. I think they see that as a good thing. Look, Racing Victoria kept working on them with various promotions and incentives. And what I would hope is that with the, you know, exceptionally strong turnover that we've seen, and I can tell you it has continued through the months of December and January, turnover levels have still been, you know, north of 30% up on last year. You know, those strong turnover numbers are not only benefiting the racing industry, they're benefiting our wagering partners as well. That really should help them, I think, absorb some, if not all, of the increase, rather than pass that on to punters. I think the other thing which is important for people to understand is that the increase only affects Victorian-based punters on Victorian products. So, I know people will be thinking about, oh, this is just a massive increase on everybody betting on Victoria, Victorian racing. Clearly, punters in other states have already been at those higher rates of point of consumption tax. So that's another important point to make. But look, as I said, I'd hope that with the, you know, the sort of turnover numbers that the corporates have been seeing, that there's a very strong opportunity here for them to absorb some, if not all, of that increase rather than pass it on to punters.
Have you had any indications from some of the leading wagering providers about if they will actually absorb it, what they will do, considering what you said the past 6 to 12 months of their profits have been like?
They haven't had any commitments from any of them yet. Our team's obviously talking through all of it with them. You know, we'll make the points that I've just made to you. At the end of the day, it's their decision as to how they want to run their business. But, you know, things we can do, we will do, which is continuing to invest with them in various promotions and incentives and try to reward the punters from that perspective. But at the end of the day, they're the ones that decide, you know, what they absorb and what they pass on.
Yeah, you have no, Race of Victoria has no say.
It is competitive. It is competitive. Yeah. It's a competitive market, right? So, you know, they'll all be aware of, you know, what their competitors and others are doing. And I think we need to rely on the fact we've got a competitive market out there as well amongst the corporates. And, you know, they'll do what they can do, I'm sure.
And what have they been doing interstate, Brian? You would have looked at how they've reacted to higher point of consumption taxes in New South Wales and the other interstates. Generally, what have the corporates been doing there?
Yeah, look, I think it's been a balance, Michael. No doubt in the early days of the point of consumption tax being introduced nationally, there was some increase in overround. So, in other words, the margins that the corporates are taking out did increase in the short term. That's probably stabilised and come off a little bit, I think, in recent months. This change is only a relatively, well, depends on whose perspective you're looking at it from, but it's a relatively minor change in one state only. So again, I'd like to think that the corporates can absorb it, but at the end of the day, that'll be a decision for them to make.
We know the behemoths, the sports bets and the like out there, but what about the smaller operators and most importantly, the bookmakers who have been doing it so tough and haven't been able to get on course, the rails bookies?
Yeah, so the threshold that was there previously, and I think the number is $1 million, that threshold to which this point of consumption tax won't apply will remain. So no other changes from that perspective, I think, affecting the smaller bookmakers.
All right. You mentioned the upcoming wagering licence. Where are we at with that?
There was a lot of work done towards the tail end of last calendar year on that between both the industry and the government. My understanding, expressions of interest are due back now at the end of March. I would like to see, and I know the government shares this objective with us, I'd like to see a lot of progress made on the wagering licence over the next 12 months. I think it's important that we get some certainty about what that's going to look like from a few perspectives. One is if the industry, this is the entire industry, not just thoroughbreds, but greyhounds and harness, can understand what that licensing framework looks like. It means we can invest in all those areas we spoke about earlier with more confidence, and in particular in things like prize money, which are not they're not a one-off investment. They're things that once you make the investment, you want it to continue. So the sooner we understand what that wagering licence framework looks like, the better. It's a huge contributor to all of the code's income. So that certainly will help us from that perspective. And then I guess from the, whether it's Tabcorp or somebody else that wins that licence, the sooner it's sorted out, the sooner we can be seeing investments made by the new licensee, in their business. And I think that'll only help the punters as well.
So could we have an answer or a new deal done by the end of the year, or are we still looking
That's probably
further past
but
that?
I'd like to see we'd know pretty well within the next 12 months. But within 18 months, I'd be, very, very hopeful that we would know what the outcome looks like. Now that's, obviously there are a lot of players in that. The VRI is one of the stakeholders in it, but obviously the government and all of the bidders for the licence as well are involved in that process. It's a government-driven process, but the sort of dates and timings I've talked to you about are the sort of discussions that we've been having with them today.
We'll continue to follow that as it transpires throughout the 12 months and maybe longer, but of current importance is, I believe there are meetings today, Brian Reid, the racing bubble in Victoria and the COVID situation. Is there any news on that and what the future may look like for the participants, but also racing fans in our major autumn carnival meetings?
Look, your mail is right. There is a meeting going on today. Look, I think overall, Michael, it's been great that crowds have been able to start to attend, but, the experience for the public and members and owners is, still not where we'd like it to be, despite, club efforts in terms of what they're doing on course. Our team is meeting today. I think it's really, with the positive numbers in the community here in Victoria looking as good as they do, we are certainly looking to remove that participant bubble between participant and others on track, and I think that'll really significantly improve, in particular, the owner experience. So we will need government sign-off for more movement on track. I was at Flemington myself last week, and, it's pretty frustrating. You get spotted to sit down and have your meal, and you can't get up and look around, get up and look around at the horses and all the rest of it. So I think it's really important that we push the government hard on allowing more movement on track. But, look, as soon as we've got something to announce, whether that's out of our meeting today or there needs to be further discussions with government, we'll let people know as soon as we possibly can. So that's sort of on the protocols on track. And then I know individual clubs are working really hard on getting approval for increased crowds as well. It'd be great to get some movement on that before some of our key autumn race meetings, particularly ones kicking off in early February, some of the big group ones we've got coming. So the clubs individually are working on all of that. But again, if I just while I've got the opportunity, just thank our participants again for all of their support and their efforts in keeping us going. And now, the people that are attending the races, the understanding they've got about the protocols we need to follow. From what I saw on Saturday, people are they don't like it, but they're certainly appreciative and understanding of why it needs to happen, and their support's much appreciated as well.
Well, fingers crossed we can get some answers from the government on that, because I think that is essential for our major races to have a more free, enjoyable day at the races. Just quickly before I let you go, I've got Michael Brough coming up next, and it ties into this increased point of consumption tax and more funding. Are we looking at rejigging some of our traditional feature races over this summer period, maybe giving more prize money with what we've seen, some fairly thin races? The Australia Stakes on Friday night's a perfect case in point, $200,000 Group 2. We had the Standish as well, which was $160,000 Group 3. The Chester Manifold, $140,000 listed race. The Bagot, only $160,000. And the Kensington, $140,000 as well, which I suppose makes it less appealing for lower rated horses to compete in these races with the prize money not much different to what a standard Saturday race would be worth.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a point that's on our radar, that's for sure. I do think some of the issues we're seeing at the moment, I mean, you just raised the Australia Stakes issue. I actually had a look at last year's race, and it was an outstanding race last year. I think we had 5 Group 1 winners in the race, so it's still a relatively small field of 9 or 10, I think. But whether it's prize money or programming, I know Greg Carpenter and his team are looking at both issues. There's no doubt it's, you know, this time of year, it's all the public holidays, and, you know, we've got Caulfield next week, and, you know, we had Boxing Day, and it's pretty jam-packed with alternatives for horses. Which in some ways is a good thing, but it can mean some of these races come up a bit skinny. And I do think, obviously, we need to understand, has COVID and sort of limiting movements of people and horses between states had any impact on some of these field sizes as well? So Greg and his team will be looking at not just prize money issues, but programming, but obviously accept your point around that spread between, you know, those standard Saturdays meetings at 125, or indeed for $3 and stays 135. You know, the gap to our listed and group races is probably not where we'd want it. But, you know, there are a lot of demands on prize money increases at the moment. That's obviously one which, as I said, is definitely on the table. You know, we're always looking at what we need to do from a grassroots racing perspective and prize money there. There's probably a number of other feature races we'd like to do some things with. We've got demands, you know, requests from places like Warrnambool for their carnival, and there's all sorts of requests for other increases as well. But I think, you know, what I'd say is that the improvements we've seen from COVID and the fact we're starting to get people on track, and hopefully that can increase, and then things like the outcome we got with the POC receipts or point of consumption tax receipts yesterday, we're certainly better placed than what we were, you know, a few months ago to start looking at some of these prize money issues. But do want to make the point that some of the issues that we're seeing may not be prize money related, they may be programmed. So both of those things need to be looked at jointly.
Well, there's no doubt we're in a better place than what we thought we would be 6 to 9 months ago with the COVID situation. Thank goodness we've been able to continue racing. And the highlight, the way things are shaping up of this autumn carnival will be the All-Star Mile, which I'll talk to Michael Brough about in a moment. But the nominations that we've received are without doubt the strongest in its small history. And if we get all of them there, Brian, it'll be one of the races of the year, and voting opens up on Friday.
That's right, Michael. I'm thrilled with it. I mean, and the numbers of nominations are down a little bit on the two prior years, but the quality is outstanding. I think from memory, we've got something like 23 Group 1 winners nominated. So, it could and should be just an amazing race, and, you know, a real highlight for us through the autumn, which is what it was designed to do. You know, it was designed to be a highlight race for us during the autumn, and you know, we've got the voting opening on Friday, and that's all about getting people engaged. So I'm really excited to see how the voting develops over the next month or so.
Brian, and appreciate your time this morning.
Great to see it at the Valley. Just a great to see it at the Valley. Just a different experience again for us with the big race. So.
Absolutely. Well, Michael Brough will concur. He's online, ready to go. Brian, appreciate your time this morning.
Cheers, Michael. Thanks a lot, mate.